We are in the sermon series called Beyond Sight. The circumstances of our lives in which we live today does not have to dictate our future. There is something beyond that we need to look into it in order to really make sense of what's going on. And today we're going to be looking at Genesis chapter 50. And I would like for, if you have your Bibles, you can go ahead and have it open at Genesis chapter 50. We're going to be reading from verses 15 to 21. But before I get to that, I would like to make you a question. And I need you to think about it. What do you do when those who are closest to you hurt you? What do you do with those who are that you love most come and with evil intent and hurt you? What is your action? What is your wording? How do you deal with them? Those who love you, because we all know this, that those who will hurt you the most are those that are closest to you. It might be your husband and your wife. It might be your brother, your sister. It might be a cousin. It might be a co-worker in which you work together with, and you each other depend on each other in order for you to be successful in your workplace. What do you do when those who you love most hurts you? What do you do? The theme for you today is this. You know, my sermons has all a theme. And the theme for you is this. Is when people purposely chose to hurt us, it is better to forgive than to be filled with bitterness and self-pity. Bitterness, the word bitterness really brings this desire to inflict pain in somebody else. You have this agony within, so the agony drives you to hurt somebody back. And the agony brings that desire to inflict pain on somebody. And I believe that the Bible, especially what we're going to read today, tells us that when people choose to hurt us, it is better to forgive them than to allow bitterness to come in. The other one is self-pity. Self-pity is this desire to blame somebody else and to say, oh, poor me, poor me. Why? Because God has a destination and a purpose for your life. It is so much better to forgive. It is so much better to allow bitterness to go away and self-pity to go away and embrace the new of God to your lives, because God has something new and good for us. Do you believe that God has a destination and a purpose for your life? Do you believe that? Do you believe that? So let's repeat with me. I don't do this often, you know that, but I think this is important for us to absorb, okay? Can you repeat with me? For God has a destination and a purpose for my life instead of your life. Say my life. Can we say that together on three? Can we say that together on three? One, two, three. For God has a destination and a purpose for my life. How long does it take for the past to become water under the bridge? How long? How do we handle bumping into people from our past who did things that still bother us today? How do you deal with that? How do you handle it? How do you forgive somebody who did something that is evil towards you? How can we forgive that? The passage that we're going to read today tells us that Joseph did. He did just that. He didn't have to. Being the second in command in Egypt, he had the power to throw his brothers into slavery and have them killed. But he chooses not to. Joseph struggles with the process of forgiving his brothers. After all, he's human just like you and I. But he was able to hold on to God's promises and to forgive those who hurt him most. Genesis chapter 50, verses 15 to 21 is the end of the story. If you really want to read, we don't have time to cover the whole thing. So if you want to really read the whole story, open Genesis chapter 30 and start reading chapter after chapter. It's about 20 chapters. It'll be a quickly read, about 30 minutes read, and you get the whole story, and you get the whole sum of it, although I'm going to sum it up for you today. But this is the end of the story. Genesis chapter 50, verses 15 to 21. And this is what it says. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, It may be that Joseph will hate us and pay us back for all the evil that we did to him. Oh, dad is now gone. And the brothers who planned evil and did evil against Joseph was freaking out. Because he was a powerful man and he could do whatever he wanted towards his brothers. So they sent a message to Joseph saying, your father gave this command before he died. Say to Joseph, please forgive the transgressions of your brothers and their sins because they did evil to you. It's all over the page. Everybody knows that the brothers did evil towards Joseph. And now, please forgive the transgressions of the servant of God of your father. Joseph wept when they spoke to him. His brother also came and fell down before him and said, behold, we are your servants. But Joseph said to them, do not fear, for am I in God's place, in the place of God? As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. So do not fear. I will provide for you and your little ones. Thus he comforted them and spoke kindly with them. Wow. Wow. What a verse, verse 20. After all that the brothers and all that has happened to Joseph, he chooses to forgive. He doesn't allow bitterness and self-pity to sit in because he knew that God has a purpose and a destination for his life. Here's how the story goes. Jacob had 12 kids, to which one of them was his favorite. His name was Joseph. He made this special coat for him, and there was a collar for one that dictated and showed everybody else in the family, in the world around them, that was his favorite kid. It was not only about the favor of the dad. Joseph had the favor of God towards him, right? And every time God has something special for you, somebody else is going to come and try to mess that up. Isn't that how it goes? Have you ever been blessed or felt blessed by God and you start to share with people about how God is blessing you and they come and try to mess things up? Isn't that how it goes? It's just life. Things are going well for you. Your dad likes you. God likes you. Somebody else is going to come and say, you know what? I hate you, so I'm going to do some things in order to make your life miserable. That's exactly what happened with Joseph. His brothers did not like the fact that God and his dad loved Joseph. Jacob loved Joseph. So they planned evil against him. One afternoon, the brothers were gone taking care of some livestock. The dad was like, Joseph, I'm kind of worried about your brothers. Can you go check on the kids out? So after a little journey, get in there, the brothers saw him coming from afar and said, oh, this is a great opportunity for us to kill the kid. For us to kill him. So as the kid was coming in, they picked the kid, took the coat out of him, and put him in a pit. One of them said, Reuben said, like, no, let's not kill him. Let's please not kill him. Let's think of something else to do it. So as a caravan of Egyptians was going by, they took the kid out of the pit, who, by the way, did not have water. They just threw the kid in there. It was dry. Most likely got hurt, breaking a leg or two or something. Took him out of there, sold him into slavery. And isn't that how life goes, though? Like when things are going well and somebody comes and messes it up and then it trickles down kind of these events in your life that is from bad to worse. Isn't that how it goes sometimes? Have you ever been there? You know, life is going good and out of a sudden somebody messes it up for you and then it's just like bad after bad after bad after bad. And this is what happened with Joseph. Thrown in the pit, sold into slavery. But he remained faithful to God. He remained faithful to God. And he's like, you know what? God has a destination and a purpose for me. And I'm not going to allow this momentary things that is happening to me to affect my life. became faithful and where he was, and he became an important guy on Potiphar's house, the Pharaoh at the time. As he was serving Potiphar, Potiphar's wives thought he was a cute kid, just like me. Cute, right? What are you laughing about? I got you. The Potiphar's wife thought he was cute and wanted to sleep with him. So she made some advance towards him, to which he responded, "No, ma'am, God has been good to me. Your husband has been good to me. I'm going to be faithful to your husband and be faithful to God. I am not falling into this sexual seduction." One of those days, he was working at the house. She makes advance towards him. He said no. She grabs one of his, takes his jacket out of him and holds on. And as soon as he's running out of the house, she's yelled, "Joseph tries to rape me." False accusation of harassment. If being put in the pit is not enough, if being sold to slavery is not enough, now put it in prison by Pharaoh himself, for the false accusation that he believed from his wife. Joseph, in jail. As far as he knew, his whole life would be, he would be in jail for his whole life. But while in jail, he still remained faithful to God. Isn't that a story that really bothers us, right? Because when life is going, when life is crappy, I gotta say it, when life is not good, right? And when everything around us is falling apart, instead of being faithful to God, we start being faithful to everything else and everybody else. We want a solution. So we are faithful to the solution, but not faithful to God. Isn't that how it goes? Not Joseph. He's faithful to God, and even in prison, even in the darkest time of his life, he's still faithful to God, and he found favor in the eye of the prison guard, and he became one of an important little guy within the prison. And while a couple of guys had a dream, he interpreted those dreams for the guys, and one was a cupbearer, and the other one both worked for Pharaoh. And after interpreting those dreams, those guys went out of jail. And Joseph said, "Listen, when you're out here, remember me. I did you a favor. I interpreted for you this dream, so remember me." Got forgotten. The cupbearer and the breadbearer came out of jail, go be with Pharaoh. One got killed, the other doesn't, but they got forgotten. Isn't that how life goes? Pete, slavery, prison, forgotten. Pete, slavery, prison, forgotten. It's just how sometimes things go. But he remained faithful. In 2 years, 2 years after he revealed the dreams of the cupbearer, the Pharaoh had a couple of dreams that needed interpreted. Nobody could. The guy remembered, like, whoa, Pharaoh. I was in jail, and there was this little Hebrew kid that he was interpreting dreams. Like, bring him up. He might be able to do it. So Pharaoh called Joseph out. And Pharaoh tells Joseph about his dreams, and Joseph interpreted the dream for Pharaoh. The dream was a warning to save food and provision in the land, because a big famine would come. So Pharaoh said, "You know what? You were wise to interpret the dream. You're gonna be the guy who's gonna carry this job through. So make him second in command throughout whole Egypt." There's Pharaoh, and that was his mini-me, Joseph. Wow. Second in command. And here's the irony of the whole story, Rup, right? Since, like, the famine starts to come in, so the whole world is hungry. There's no rain. There's no food. People need to get some food somewhere. Guess where people go? Egypt, right? People go to Egypt, and they get to Egypt, and guess who they have to see? Joseph. Here's the funny thing about this story is that the brothers, they were hungry. They found themselves hungry, and their kids were hungry, their wives were hungry, and their livestock were hungry. And now guess who they got to see to get some food? Joseph. So they start. They start on a journey to Egypt and goes goes before Joseph. They didn't recognize the kid, of course, and bow down before him, just like Joseph dreamed told that would happen in the beginning of the story. Bow down before Joseph and beg for food and for mercy. And that begging was attended, was extended to them in the form of forgiveness, in food, and blessings that comes from God Himself. Basically, while the brothers meant harm to Joseph by selling him in slavery, they put him in a position where he was able to save their entire nation. Isn't that cool? That we don't get to see it all. Sometimes we're going through a difficult time in our lives right now and we can't see the whole thing, but you never know what God has for you and how He's going to turn the momentary difficulties into something great. Because reality is, God has a purpose for your life. God has a destination for you. And here's where we find Joseph in the focus of our verses today, which is verse 20. For as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. In these verses, that is one word that really intrigues me and that I really like. And being a second language, English being my second language, it really brings like different meaning for me, is the word meant. The word meant. In the Hebrew, it means to plan, to weave, to intend. The word can be defined as a past participle, to mean, which is defined as to intend for a particular purpose or destination. To mean, to have this a particular purpose and a destination for someone. You have probably heard this before. Someone saying something they probably shouldn't have said or done something that lacked thoughtfulness, but someone else tried to cover up for them with the statement, they meant well. Have you ever been there? Right? People say they meant well. What they're saying is that even though what the person said did create a bad reality, a negative reality to your life, that was not their intention. That's not what they intended. They hadn't meant to cause you harm. That's one use of that word, but that's not how the word is used in the text. That's not how it is used in the text. But that was not the case with Joseph and his brothers. When they stripped him out of his coat and dumped him in the pit, they meant evil. They meant bad. They meant to destroy him. Nor was the case when they brutally pulled him from the pit and sold him for a profit to slave traders heading to Egypt. It wasn't also the case when Potiphar's wife falsely accused Joseph of sexually abusing her. She meant nothing. They meant nothing but evil towards Joseph. They wanted to destroy and to kill him, who was acting faithfully towards God, towards Potiphar, towards his parents. Can you imagine the pain of his brothers? The betrayal of separation from his father, the horror of slavery, the seduction and the false accusation by Potiphar's wife. Can you imagine the desperation he felt when he was put into jail and to think that his whole youth would pass away in prison? Joseph's brothers and Potiphar's wife meant nothing but evil towards the guy. Maybe this morning you feel just like that. Maybe this morning you feel just like Joseph. People are meaning evil all around you and they are trying to consume your life. It might be your husband. Maybe you're in a relationship. Maybe in your marriage, you're in your husband and wife and you're fighting against each other and you're planning evil for one another. Maybe it's a family deal. Maybe your brothers and your sisters not agreeing about something and you're just fighting with each other and somebody's planning evil towards you. They meant to harm you. They meant to ruin your life. They meant to dethrone you for the place where God has put you at this moment. They meant bad. Oh, maybe someone is meaning evil towards us. Let me tell you three truths that I think is important for you. Too much TH is in one statement. Three things, let me tell you. The first truth is this. People have an intended purpose and a destination for your life. People have plans for you and a destination that they want you to see happen. It might be your husband and your wife, it might be your friends, it might be whatever, it might be your boss. Everybody has a destination and a purpose for you. The second thing you need to know is this, is that you have a purpose and a destination for yourself. You have your own plans and your own desires. And sometimes we go even against God's plans and desire knowingly in order to fulfill that which we want. And the third thing you need to know is this, is that God himself, God has a purpose and an intention, a destination. He has intended purpose and destination for your life. The question is, which ones do you want? Which of the options do you want? And I don't know about you, but Joseph, he wanted the latest one. He wanted God's intention and God's purpose and God's destination for him. That's what he wanted for his life, and that's what we should want for our life. And let me tell you this, what Joseph is telling us in this verse is that God has a particular purpose and a destination for your life, and it is good. Do you believe that? There are six words, combination of words that I love on this verse 20, and it's the word, but God meant it for good. Those six words for me is powerful. When you get anything that say God meant, anytime the Bible says God meant, man, you gotta pay attention because it is good. God is the only one who has the ability to turn any purpose and any destination that was meant for evil and turn it into good. He's the only one who can do that. Nobody else can do that. Sometimes things happen in our lives that breaks our hearts and steal our joy. In those moments, it is easy for us to forget that God has a hand in every part of our lives. He knows what we are going to think before we think of it. He knows every beat of our hearts. God has a purpose for every single thing, every moment. Even the things in your life that seem that takes our breath away and break our heart, God uses those circumstances to train us into godliness. The circumstances that you and I, that we are struggling under, the circumstances that we do not like, God can turn them around as means for our good. I know I'm full of truth-telling today. Let me tell you one other one that I think it is good for you and I to understand and process it. There it is. I want for you right there. Sometimes God, he breaks our heart to save our souls. Sometimes he doesn't purposely put them. We do that to ourselves or to one another, but he allows it to happen so that it breaks our hearts so that we can come to him and he can save us. For us to reach the purpose of the good destination God has for us, we need to learn from Joseph. A few things here fast. We need to learn a few things from Joseph this morning. And the first one is this. Joseph had to learn to love and forgive those who hurt him. So got to love and learn to do that. I don't like that, to be honest with you, right? When people hurt us, I mean, you want a justice. And we have this own sense of justice, and we want revenge, you know? We want them to pay back to it. But this is not what we read in the story. This is not what the New Testament tells us. It tells us that we ought to love our enemy and be there for those who hurt us. It's one of the most difficult teachings of the Bible, isn't it? But if we're going to be successful in our lives, if we're going to live a life to honor God and that is to live in peace and harmony with people and to be successful in everything we say and do, I think it is important for us to understand, like Joseph did, that we need to love and forgive those who hurt us. We can only love those who hurt us once we forgive them. You got to be able to forgive them. We forget all the time that we were enemies of God. And sometimes we forget that because it's like when people inflict pain on us, we want to inflict pain on them. But when we are the ones inflicting pain, we're like, and then you got to get some repercussion back. You're like, whoa, wait a second. Not me. I'm a cool guy. I just made a mistake, right? No. When we inflict pain on people, guess what? There's some responsibilities into that. So we don't like to bear those responsibilities. And so I am reminded of Romans chapter 5:10 that says this. For if while we were God's enemies, while we needed punishment, while we needed to whatever God would have in mind towards us, this is what Paul tells us. We were reconciled to him through the death of his son. While we were God's enemy, he sent Jesus to die for you and I. How much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Joseph didn't know how to love his brothers. He was a proud guy. He was in a position of influence. But he had to learn how to do that. And so we read on chapter 50, verses 21, this. He says, do not fear. I will provide for you and your little ones. Thus he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. Do you got a grasp on this verse? Man, this is a kid who got beat up because of his brother's action towards them. Like all the things that happened in Joseph's life, good or bad, was trickled down of being sold in slavery, being put in the pit and sold in slavery. All that pain and suffering came because of their brothers. And in the end, he looked the guys in the eyes and said, listen, I will provide for your little ones and comfort them. And he spoke kindly to them. Wow. He was able to forgive, to love those who hurt him most. But this doesn't happen over time, right, guys? Like, I'm not telling you here, like, hey, somebody hurt you? All right, cool. Forgive them. It's not like that, right? I mean, we are always smart here. It's not like that. It takes a time. It took a journey. It took about 20 years for Joseph to come to a place where he could forgive his brothers. But it comes with tests too, right? Joseph will talk to his brothers and put them to the test. So you can read it through it all there. But through the passage that you read from verses chapter 30 to 50, you see that the brothers were put to test, and in one of the tests, they told the truth. So there's some elements that it needs to take place in the life of the offender in order for you to release forgiveness into their lives. It's not different towards God and us, but it's important for us to understand those things. If we're going to forgive people, you got to get hold of these elements, and I have these elements up there for you, and you need to know what they are, okay? And so as you're dealing with someone who hurt you, they need to be able to start telling the truth, and the truth got to be told. The brothers were telling the truth in one specific situation. Well, Joseph put them into some questions and they told the truth, and Joseph knew that. The second element that needs to have in that relationship of the offender towards you, the offender needs to recognize and have some remorse and some sorrow within themselves. And we see this being explicitly told in the passage. The brothers recognized and they had a remorse and they had sorrow towards what they had done. The third thing is that they had to take responsibility for the damage done. And the brothers, especially Judah, he was convinced of the mistake and the evil done towards Joseph, especially when it comes to selling him into slavery. Judah stepped up. He took responsibility. The other part of the element that needs to take place and was so apparent in the life of Judah is that the person they offended have to have a change of heart and an attitude of repentance. That person has to change. You can't keep hurting people and being forgiven. No, there must be this element of life change, of heart change, and repentance. This is so true in the life of Judah, who was the one who really planned evil towards Joseph. In the end of the story, about chapter 47 and 49, he gives his life. And he says, Joseph is making a test and say, I'm going to take one of your brothers away. And Judah's like, no, don't take my brothers away. Take my life. He went from wanting to kill someone in order to sacrifice his own life in order to save somebody. It was an evidence of God's work in Judah's heart that compelled Joseph to prophesy about how God had been at work all along. Despite all the evil they had done, Judah witnessed the power of God without realizing that's what he was doing. And Joseph responded to Judah's witness by saying, man, don't be too hurt, like don't be too down on yourself. God is in control of everything. It is not easy to forgive those who hurt us. This story makes it possible for us to believe and to live a life of forgiveness, though. We see several components of this story, so I want to highlight that for you. If someone has hurt you and they show these elements here, you have to come to a place of forgiveness. So if these elements are found in the life of that person who hurt you, you have to release forgiveness. If that person takes responsibility, if that person recognizes that they have remorse and sorrow or regret for the action done, if that person is starting to tell the truth, if that person has a change of heart and behavior, if that person starts to show a sense of repentance, it is our duty to start to forgive and start to move in a place of loving them. But there's one part that is on the offended, and the offended person has to recognize this, that there is more good in God towards us than evil in man intended for us. We need to start to realize that there's more good in God for you and I than the evil intended by any man towards our lives. Before we can reach this successful life, a life that is intended to honor God and influence the world for Jesus, we, like Joseph, we need to learn and go through this process of loving and forgiveness. Our lack of forgiveness puts us in the place of God, and Joseph knew that. He knows that only God has the ability to withhold forgiveness, and he still chooses not to do that. Isn't that how God is? He can on his own say, I'm not forgiving anybody. I'm done. I'm not forgiving. Look at what you guys keep on doing all over again. I'm done, guys. No, he doesn't. He doesn't do that. You are forgiven, right? Isn't that what the Bible tells us? You are forgiven. We are forgiven people. God has forgiven us, and the forgiveness comes through us through the death of Jesus in the cross of Calvary. So God is the only one who can, but he doesn't withhold forgiveness. So who are we to withhold forgiveness to another fellow human? And Joseph knew that, and he says on verse 19, do not fear, for am I in the place of God? It's never fun. It's never fun. It never turns out well when one broken sinner demands that another broken sinner to be their Jesus. Never. And to withhold forgiveness is to be put yourself in that position. Joseph had to learn to forgive, so that when he saw his brothers, there was absolutely no animosity in his heart against them. He had completely forgiven them and was ready to love them with actions and not words. Maybe this morning you're struggling with someone so badly in your heart. Maybe this morning you feel like, man, so-and-so has intended evil towards me, and I have this bitterness in my heart towards that person. If I could get that person right now, I would. Maybe this morning you know that someone is right now planning evil towards your life. The challenge for you and I this morning is to put ourselves before Jesus and to ask Him to bring within us the understanding that what people means for evil, God got your back, got my back, and He means that for good. He will turn it around. We don't have to be vengeful. The worship team can come forward. We don't have to be vengeful. We can be stubborn enough to insist that God loves us in spite of the hatred of others around us. When we trust that Jesus has conquered our sins and the sins of those who hurt us, it becomes possible to rewrite the story of our lives by welcoming God's particular purpose and destination for your life, for my life, and for our life. Which is always good. Only then we will be able to release forgiveness and love to those who hurt us. Only then. Only when we welcome God's purpose. Only when we welcome God's destination for our lives. Only when we put our trust in Jesus, that He got your back, that He got my back, that He got our back. And it doesn't matter what the world thinks or wants to do against us. God got us. Only then you will, and it is good, only then you'll be able to release forgiveness, love those who hurt us, and you're able to repeat the same thing that Joseph repeated. Listen, what you meant for evil, don't worry about it. God got it. He turned it for good, and He meant it well so that many people will get life. Here's what you don't understand that God does, and Joseph did, is that your well-being dictates the future, the well-being future of many people around you. Do you got that? What sometimes we forget is that we think we're so insignificant. And God's like, no, wait a second. You're very significant. Your life matters because the well-being of people around you comes through your life. And so many times we think that God can care less about what happens in our lives. And reality is God cares because your life is the channel of His blessings in the life of those around you. You are blessing to be a blessing to somebody else. God wants your good, so that you can touch people's life for Him. Life comes through life. Only when we welcome God's purpose, we'll be able to say, man, God is good. I thought I was going to die. Whew. He turned it around, and now He uses me for a purpose. Are you ready to be used by God today for a purpose? Are you ready to recognize that the evil that's going on in your life right now is just a momentary thing, and God is turning it into good, and your life is going to be changed all around, and it's going to be great? Do you believe that? If you do, you got to start forgiving and loving those who hurt you, man. That's the challenge. We ought to start to release in forgiveness and love. So maybe this morning you struggle with somebody, you have it in your mind. Why don't we take, as the worship team is starting to sing here, why don't we take this moment, bow down your head. I'm not going to make you come forward, raise your hand, nothing like that. That's creepy. Right? No. As you and God, bow down your head. Say the name of the person. This was hard on me this week, because there's people in my life who hurt me, who trying to destroy me, who blatantly lied about me and about ministry, and I want to, you know it. But God is like working in me. It's like, Sam, you got to forgive those people who hurt you, son. You'll never to be able to live a good life and have a fruitful ministry if you start to hold in the bitterness from the past. That's for me. And I was like, okay, God, all right. You can't preach this sermon, Sam, if you don't let the people, if you don't let go of the hurt of the past. You can't preach this sermon. So the whole week I'm having to profess forgiveness and start to find ways of loving those who have hurt me in the past. But it's so good when those things are just getting out of your heart and out of your shoulders and out of your mind. You just feel the freedom of God in your life. And I experienced it this week, and I continue to, and I'll continue to for the rest of my life. But I want you to feel it too. So this morning, start with one person. Bow your head. Put that name before God, because I have names, right? We all have names. Put it before God and say, God, that person hurt me so bad. You know what I want to do with that person, but I can't. Your word tells me that I need to forgive and to love. So let's start working on that. So bow down your heads. Pray to your God. He's listening to you. And like He changed the life of Judah, He can change your lives, the life of your offender. Jesus, we all have people in our lives who have hurt us deeply, who has caused us a lot of pain and suffering. But this morning, we want to forgive them and to love them. And you know how impossible that is in our hearts. You know how impossible that is in our minds. But we know that the Bible tells us that with God, anything is possible, and forgiveness is possible, and love is possible through your Son, Jesus Christ. God, we are challenged by this passage, and we want to be faithful to you as Joseph did. So help us to forgive and to love those who have hurt us deeply. In your name we pray, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's stand up and worship.